Our main speaker tonight is Cynthia.
Hi, family. My name is Cynthia, and I'm definitely a grateful recovered alcoholic. Through the grace of God, the program, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink since July 16th, 1990, and I'm forever, ever grateful about that. And I must always say I ain't cut nobody since then either. My sponsor always tell me that I must tell my story, what it was like, what happened, what it's like for me now. Alcoholism is cunning, baffling, and powerful. This is the only disease that I know that tells me that I'm not doing that bad. You know, and I'm doing real bad. I can remember I was doing bad, looking bad, and I would find somebody who was doing a little worse than me. And I said, when I get to be like Helen, I'm going to stop drinking. But when I got down in the gutter with Helen, I found somebody else, you know. So this is definitely a disease of denial. Alcoholism, like I said, is cunning, baffling, and powerful. I can remember going to school. I was pretty cool. You know, I would listen to my parents. I used to run track when I was a kid. One of the highlights of my life was meeting Wilma Rudolph. And I was cool. I remember after one track meet, somebody had bought some Gypsy Rose. Some Gypsy Rose wine. Never in my life I ever drink wine, smoked a cigarette. And what happened, I drank this wine. If anybody knows about Gypsy Rose, it's the nastiest, nastiest wine in the world. But what happened for me, when I drank that wine, no longer did it matter that I was dark, that my hair was short. Alcohol did for me immediately what I couldn't do for myself. So for the next, I don't know how many years, that was my story. You know, when things were good, bad, and different, a drink was always my answer. Like I said, coming up, I was pretty okay till I got at the age of 15 when I picked up this drink. And I do know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, so I really respect where I'm at. But for me to drink wine, I shoot dope. You know, so my sponsor has told me that I have addictive personality. You know, I can't do one without the other. So anyway, I can remember my first bout with alcoholism in jail was, I remember I was 16 years old. I played hooky from school, and me and my girlfriend went around to this other junior high school, drunk as a skunk. And I beat this girl up and took her $5, whoop-de-doo. That's a lot of money then, though, okay? And I took her $5, and I remember that night I had got drunk, and the cops came to my house that night. And as we all know, alcohol way off in a while, and I was completely sober. And I remember I got arrested that night. They took me to the woman's house of detention. And I remember when I went in there, I said, oh, God, if you ever, ever get me out of this, I'm not never coming back. And I come to find that's the prayer of this alcoholic. When I'm in hot water, I go to God. As soon as it's over, that's it. Anyway, I went to jail that night. I was scared to death. And the next morning, when I went to court, they had this judge. His name was Bruce Wright. Cumulus Bruce. Bruce Wright sent me to jail. The man that everybody else in the world walked except me, you know. And I went to jail, and for the next while, for the next 20, 25 years of my life, I was in and out of prisons, and never thought it was alcohol. I could remember being away for 37 months, and I was drinking a little bit of homemade wine because you could get some fruit together in jail, and you could get a buzz from that, too. But basically, I wasn't drinking. I came home after doing 37 months. And me as an alcoholic, I wanted to reward myself. And the way I reward myself was with a drink. I picked up a drink that night, and later on the night, I was arrested again. And never, ever thought it was because of alcohol. I can tell you one thing. I ain't been in jail in almost 20 years now. You know, and that's a blessing. Because I was back and forth in jail and never, ever think alcohol was the problem. Most people, well, most women, they have a dream of their life of getting married. I got married, but at least you know, you should know the guy more than the day. I met this man one night in the shooting gallery. He robbed the bank the next day, and I became his wife. He was definitely my kind of guy, you know. And I married this guy, and during this marriage, I became a fortune teller. Why not? He lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and his mother knew everybody, what everybody wanted. You know, alcohol, again, cunning, baffling, and powerful, told me I could become a fortune teller. They made up all these flyers. Lady Fatima from New York is coming. And I went to Pittsburgh. This is a progression of this disease. The first year, I was okay. I was telling Harry he's going to get him a car. I was going to tell him Sue she's going to get her husband. The very next year, I went back there, the disease in full effect now. I used to have a diamond on my hat. The diamond was gone. I probably sold it. And I was telling Hank he's going to get him a husband. And Hank didn't want no husband. And I could not figure out why they did not want me in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, and that's the story of my life. In and out of places, I could never be invited to your home because I was invited to your home. Your property became my property. I stole from any and everybody, and it just didn't matter. You know, I always thought I was such a great booster and a pickpocketer, but I've been in jail all my life. So how good was I, you know, about getting honest? I mean, I can remember I got arrested one time, drunk again, because anytime I pick up a drink, I want what's not mine, so I'm going to do any and everything to get the next one. And I had got arrested, and I have like 50 yellow pages. The judge just kept turning page after page after page. And I was embarrassed. And he said, I'm going to put you away for a while. And that was okay. I can remember one time it took me 2 years to do 90 days. I was wanted everywhere. Everywhere was I wanted, you know. And my life just went on like that, never thinking nothing was wrong with it. I came to Aquasnomics for the first time ever in my life when I was 23 years old. And I came to Aquasnomics because I was in detox for I don't know how many times. I had pancreatitis. If anybody know what pancreatitis is, they put these tubes down your throat and for the next 8 to 10 days, you cannot drink or eat anything. And I was 23 years old, hospitalized again with pancreatitis. And never again thought anything was wrong with that. I remember the doctor told me if I drink again that I could die. I picked up a drink, when I didn't die, of course he didn't know what he was talking about. Any and everything for a drink. But during this time in detox, this is when I first heard the message of Aquasnomics. Three guys came in, another part of my disease. Guy was cute, so you know I was coming to AA. And I came to Aquasnomics when I was 23 years old. And didn't take any suggestions. They said to find a God of your understanding. Of course, he was my God. You know, if I couldn't see or feel or touch it, I had no belief in it. And for 3 years, I came back off Anonymous, abstinent. I was still stealing and doing other things. But anyway, after my 3 years, after celebrating, the thought came to my mind that I could pick up a drink again. In the biblical Alcoholics and the doctor's opinion, they talk about three different types of alcoholics. You know, and I could identify with all of them. I picked up this drink after 3 years, and I was right back where I started at. So if anybody's here new or coming back, it doesn't work that way. I don't care how long you've been from alcohol. Alcohol is cunning, baffling, and power. It will take over. And I picked up this drink, and for the next, I don't know how many years, in and out of AA, in and out of AA, in and out of detox, in and out of rehabs, and never, ever thinking that alcohol was my problem. I became a fortune teller. My life was just like, people just couldn't believe the things that I did for alcohol. When I was, after a while, like I said, in and out of jails, I remember it was this guy in my block. Marie, give me some water. I'm a diabetic, and my mouth gets dry every now and then. And I can remember when I came to Aquasnomics, and they told me that I was a diabetic. And they wanted me to take insulin. I was scared to death because I thought if I took this insulin, it was going to bring some sort of feeling to me. And when I finally took insulin, I told my sponsor, well, I don't feel nothing. She like, sweetie, that's medicine. You know, I thought I was going to get this rush, you know. Cunning, baffling, and powerful, you know. And like I said, so I just kept coming in and out of jails and never ever thinking anything was wrong. I can remember July 16, 1990, I was sitting in Mount Morris Park. And again, I had drunk some kind of peach wine. It cost like a dollar. and 50 cents. It took me maybe 9 days to get that up together, you know, because at this time, all the stealing that I was doing, I wasn't doing anything except getting up in the morning and going downstairs and wanting to drink. Bill talks about that in his story, being a hanger-oner. Anytime people see me coming, here come that black so-and-so again, you know. And it's been so long since someone referred me to that, you know. I thought that was my name at one time, because everybody called me that. Okay, sorry. So, like I said, I was a hanger-oner, and people, like, they tried to avoid me. And this day, I had some money, and I went and I bought some wine. Like I said, it was some kind of peach wine, and I went 20 blocks away to drink this wine, because I'm not sharing. If you got, I'm going to hang out with you. If I got some, babe, you can't have none of it. And I went and I went all the way to this park, Mount Morris Park, and I drank this pint of wine. And one of the most amazing things happened for me. My life just flashed before me. The 3 years that I was in Alcoholics Anonymous before, it just flashed before me. And I could remember that I was looking better. I was feeling better. And my kids was talking to me for a change. You know, and I like think I had a spiritual awakening, because that night they had a meeting right across from the park, the Mid-Harlem group, and I walked in there July 16, 1990, and I have not found the necessary to have a drink since then. One of the most amazing things happened for me, the same people who I left in there in 74 were still there. So that's the first time I had a ray of hope, that if I came in there and put the plug in the jug, that I too could do this thing a day at a time, you know. My home group is the Harlem Big Book Study Group, and that's what's grateful for me, because what happened, I met some people who was not only talking this program, but living this program, best ability a day at a time. And that's what we did. I commenced on this journey, and wow, things happened for me that was just unbelievable. Beyond my wildest dream, I heard the first speaker say that, beyond your wildest dream, things could happen, and that's what happened for me. I came in the tender age of 40, and never in my life had I had a job. Who in the world drink, shoot other things, and work? I couldn't figure it out at all, you know. I have people that's my best friends. You know, they've been working for 30 years. My girlfriend Marie has retired from her job. How do you do that? You know, it's a job for me to get $1.50, you know, talking about it. Anyway, I came in this program. Like I said, I never had a job before, and my sponsor, my whole network, everybody was working, and they told me to go volunteer down in New York Intergroup. Now, I want to get paid for volunteering. Oh, me volunteer? You know? But anyway, I did as I was told. My sponsor, I have the same sponsor for the last almost 20 years, and she's younger than me. And I'm like, what can this woman tell me? Well, she has 27 years of continuous sobriety, you know, and coming in here, she taught me how to dress again, because in the winter time I had a little halter. You know, I'm trying to pick up something, you know. Cynthia, it's winter time. Put a turtleneck on. I said, skirts up to here, you know. And I'm actually, it's like a classroom for me. Anyway, I did it out as I was told, and I started going out to New York at the group to volunteer. Here comes my best friend. Hey, Alex. Okay, I went down to New York and group to volunteer, and what happened? People seen in me what I couldn't see in myself. You know, people believed in me. I got hired down at New York and group, and it still blows my mind every time I get paid now that I ain't stealing. I mean, I can remember when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, my network, they were selling the grapevines, and during that time, everybody went outside to smoke, and they left me with the money. I literally sat on my hands because I didn't want to steal the money. And when they came back, I was like, the money is here. They're like, well, we didn't think it wasn't going to be here, you know. Because I stole from any and everybody. I stole from my children. It just didn't matter. I did anything for the next one. And coming in with that journey, so like I said, this has been a classroom for me. I remember when I was like almost 90 days sober, I used to still season it. Yeah. It's too little, it costs too much, why not, you know? And I remember one night I stole this seasoning and a guy caught me. And of course I went into karate stand, I was gonna fight him. I talked about his mama, you know. But what happened? But what happened for me? I got afraid for the first time in my life, and I told my sponsor I still was stealing. She said, "Well, sweetie, don't pick it up." That simple, huh? And that's what I did. In the beginning, I would walk past the seasoning aisle. I would have people buy seasoning for me. But eventually, I was able to go there and purchase seasoning. You know, this is... It's truly... See, look. People glad that I don't steal no more. Believe me. And what happened? I remember coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I heard someone said, if you come in here and you're a thief, and if you stay here long enough, you become a better thief. And that's not true. Because once I stayed here and I started doing this work, I no longer wanted to steal. You know, I can remember early on in my recovery when I was working, I had took some money home from Intergroup. God, hell, you know, I put the money in my pocket. And when I got home, I'm like, I'm stealing from Intergroup. My sponsor said, "No, sweetie, you're not stealing. Take it back tomorrow. And when you do a sale, you know, put it in there." Like I said, this has been a learning experience for me. So I started working down there, and my life had truly, truly changed. I have a daughter that's in the program. She has 20 years. So, of course, she thinks she could tell me what to do, you know. And they said, "You stop drinking for whatever reason." I mean, all my life, the PO would tell me, if your urine is dirty, you're going back to jail. I could stop for a minute for the kids. When I came back, I was beyond human aid. I could not stop for nothing. And what happened? My daughter had started drinking and doing other things, and I sent her to AA. And what happened, she was getting ready to celebrate her first year. And I needed 90 days to speak at her first year. So after she had 9 months, and I stopped drinking. And that's what happened for me. I mean, I tried all my life to stop, could never ever stay stopped. But my daughter, I spoke at her first year's anniversary, and that was like the highlight of my life. Her and I, we celebrate every 5 years together. But like I said, she has 9 months more than me, so she told me, "Well, Mommy, go to page so-and-so." Shut up, you know? My life has truly, truly been amazing. I have a grandson that's 22 years old. And my grandson, he's a big guy. He plays football. And I can remember when this kid was little, nobody wanted him nowhere near me. Now I cannot get rid of him. You know, every time I look, he's at my house, and he's bringing people to eat. They eat you out of house and home. But, you know, it's all through this program, because if I was drinking, I would not be able to enjoy any of these things. I do a woman's prison, stay in, stay out. And one amazing thing, the same girl who went to jail with 20 years ago are still going to jail. So that just tells me if I wasn't in this program, I know where I'd be at. Locked up somewhere. I've been in Matawan for the criminally insane twice in my life. The first time I was like, they wrong. The second time I went there, I wasn't too sure. You know? I mean, just my life was just hopeless and helpless. So I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I started on this journey. What happened, like I said, I started doing what you people told me to do. I've met some wonderful, wonderful people in this program. My friend Peggy right there. I've been knowing Peggy my whole recovery. She just gave me $3,000 just now. And normally, you couldn't give me a penny. Because I can recall my mother sent me to the store to get the kids some milk one night, and the woman didn't see me for 3 weeks. You know, that's just the way I operated. I just took any and everything, you know, for a drink. And today I'm just trustworthy, and that's just because of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I know if I pick up a drink, all that I have obtained is gone. I'm coming to rob you, and that's just how my life is. Like I said, my home group is the Harlem Big Book Study Group. I met some people who've not only talked about this program, but lived in this program to the best of their ability a day at a time. And I commenced on this journey. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm definitely a product of it, you know, because if I didn't have that book in my life, I don't know where I would be at. I don't know. I'm just how much more time I got? Anyway, I can remember the first time I spoke at this convention in Mississippi. And I was like, you know, I was afraid to go speak. Of course, I thought I was going to find all black folks there. I was the only black person there. But what amazed me, I met people that we have nothing in common but accept the solution to this program. And that's the most wonderful thing for me. I met Clancy. Clancy is like a personal friend of mine, you know. I was telling my girlfriend the other day that I was at some workshop that Clancy was doing, and he's awesome with the traditions, and I got up to go, go to the bathroom, and Clancy stopped the meeting. Where are you going, Cynthia? To the bathroom. Well, I'm going to wait here until you come back, because you need to hear what I got to say. And I tallied on to the bathroom and came back, and he proceeded after I sat back down, you know. So that's all I do. I come in here and I try to live this life. I try to definitely pass this message on. You know, I'm a product of what this program is. I must always, always, wherever I go, be a productive member of our Horse Anonymous. You know, I no longer do the things I used to do. They talked about people, places, and things. And that's so important if you knew, because my sponsor told me that they would get me drunk before I get them sober. Anytime I would come out of detox, of course, I want to go around to the neighborhood to show everybody how I look and what I'm doing. And I come to find out I may not drink that day, but eventually I'm going to drink again. The very last time when I went to detox, I had pink eyes. Both of my eyes was closed. My mother, for the 100th time, led me to the detox. She took my hand and walked me to the detox. And what happened for me as an alcoholic, the first thing happened for me, I put on 2 pounds. And of course, I thought I had it going on. Me, I heal physically before I heal mentally. It's just a process. So once I put on a little bit of weight, I really thought that I had it going on. I came out of detox. They told me about people, places, and things. I didn't pay any attention to that. And eventually, I picked up a drink again. And that cycle started all over again. I cut somebody. I went to jail for a year, you know. And when I came home this time, I just really, really was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I celebrated my 60th birthday last week. And it's just amazing. When I came to the program at 40, I looked at 3 times older than this. And I mean, 60 years is just really, really amazing because of Alcoholics Anonymous. I know for a fact that jail preserves you. Jail definitely preserves you, all in and out of jails. People in this program have been there for me. My mother just recently passed. I got cards from Peggy, Helen, from so many people that, like I said, we are people who wouldn't normally mix, because most of y'all would be a victim for me, because I'm going to rob y'all, you know. And what happens, I come in here and y'all are my friends. I could always remember when I came to this program, I was talking about how the white people kept me hostage for 300 years. I'm Muslim now, you know. How they kept me hostage for 300 years. And as I look around at my anniversaries, I have more white people at my anniversaries than black people. So it's just amazing what could happen for you in this program. Alcohol, like I said, Alcoholics Anonymous has saved my life. Has truly, truly enhanced me. I could call people and tell them I'm coming to speak somewhere, and people, like, really show up, you know, and they be glad to hear what I got to say. I just have a simple message of hope, because if I came to this program, if I could do this thing, if you come in and follow these simple directions, things would change for you. I no longer believe that I could drink. For me to drink again is for me to die. It's not so much dying physically, mentally, and spiritually. What I put in this program is what I get out. They tell me that half measures will avail me nothing. So I do this the same way I used to hunt for a drink. I do this each and every day. They said what I do today has nothing to do about tomorrow. I need the spiritual, my based on my spiritual continuance in this program. That's how I recover. You know, it's just awesome that what I would do, when I was coming down here, I said I love to always get a sponsee, because when I get a sponsee, I really get back into meetings. You know, I go to at least 3 to 4 meetings a week. Of course, I think, I used to think, because I worked at Intergroup, that's not a meeting. That's not a meeting, you know. I'm one of those special workers from the A tradition, and what I do, my job pays my rent for me and other things, but my service is at my home group, you know. I'm the secretary of my home group. I'm the treasurer at another group, and they want to keep knowing where's receipts at, you know. I can't remember to bring no receipts, you know. So, but what happens, people trust me now. You know, they really, really, truly trust me. So I need to start working on really bringing receipts, you know, about the stuff. The stuff that I claim that I buy. You know, I bring some cookies from the house, you know, whatever, you know. But Aquos Anonymous has truly, truly been a blessing. They've told me to come there and learn how to tell the truth. Because I hurt nobody but myself when I don't come and tell you what's wrong with me, you know. I'm as sick as my secrets. I always thought that I had secrets that I wanted to take to my grave. Not anymore. After I came in here and I took a look at me doing the fourth step, I did the fourth step very early on in my recovery process. I did it when I had 9 months, because my sponsor said, who wants to wait a whole year to get better? It doesn't stop there, and immediately I was living the 10th step, because what happens, I no longer is making amends for that stuff I used to do. And to me, to make an amend is not to repeat it again. Don't come tell me you sorry, and you keep doing the same thing, because then I might cut you, you know. yeah, you know, I want to get better, and I want people, so the people around me, they definitely have to get better. You know, my life is truly, truly amazing. Like I said, I'm definitely a product of this program. And I know for a fact what I put in is what I get out. And they always say there's no must in this program. And that's not true, because they tell me that I must pass this message on. Thank you.